This is a New Year's Day sermon that was originally preached January 1st, 1948. The sermon text is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Fellow redeemed, precious in the Lord. It has never been wrong to fight in the right way for the right thing. Great Christians have always been great fighters, not with fist or sword, but with and for the truth. Call the roll of them, and you will see. They were people untiring in their struggles, unfailing in courage to face the foe. Moses, Joshua, Abraham, Noah, and David. Solomon lost the heritage of his forefathers because he forgot to fight and loved ease. Peter, Paul, John Hughes, Wycliffe, and Luther would awake on the morning of New Year's Day feeling that God had graciously given them another day to fight. How is it with us? Yes, we are people who love peace, and our minds grow weary when fighting is mentioned. We want none of it, and especially do we deplore thinking of it on the first day of the New Year. But the heroes we have mentioned hated fighting too. We speak of it not of our own will, but because we have no choice. As surely as we have today set out with God upon another year of life on earth, so surely do we know that all that we as Christians cherish and for which we want to live will be threatened in this year. Either we shall fight to preserve it, or we shall lose it. Before us today stands one of our captains. He looks over his army which he directs, and he looks ahead at the new year lying before us. Then, as a commander would do when his troops are about to engage the enemy, this captain, our Apostle Paul, gives what would be called the order of the day. Let us meditate upon, and our theme in parts, the order of the day. Stand fast in the faith. Consider with me part one, what action is wanted, and part two, what it requires of us. If you would ask people to what they intend to dedicate this year and what will be their chief concern during its course, the answers might be of many kinds, for each will answer according to his or her chief interest in life. But if you asked a Christian this, and if he were thinking as a Christian, his answer would be, and should be, that the big thing in this year will be our faith. For this is true, and it is simple to show why it must be true. Our Captain Paul, in his order of the day, addresses us with the single command, stand fast in the faith. This is the one action required of the Christian, and has first call on the strength which he possesses. This is the battleground of life for our faith. The apostle may be using the word faith in either of two ways. It seems that here he uses it in both sense. When we speak of our faith, we mean, first of all, the Christian faith that we confess, as it is found, for example, in the Apostles' Creed, or the Nicene Creed, or the Augsburg Confession, or Luther's Small Catechism. These contain the Christian faith, that is, the Bible truths, the doctrines, the teachings of God. Stand fast, says the apostle, in the doctrine of God's word, the truths that we must believe in order to be saved. Do not depart from them in their entirety, or from any single one. But the faith can also mean the other thing, namely our faith in the faith. We believe, by God's Holy Spirit and direction, the truths that belong to the gospel. Continuing in this faith and guiding our lives by it, we have the promises that God gave us in His Son, Jesus Christ, the promise of the forgiveness of our sins, and with it, eternal life and salvation. It is this faith, in both parts, which forms the embattled ground, the cause of struggle. Where we carry it, we are embroiled in war. It is at once the very heart of our life and the object of attack by all our enemies. Why is it the heart of our life? This question we should not have to answer, but experience teaches us that it is necessary. For one must put before us Christians again and again the simple problem, what would your life be without the Christian faith. Just try to imagine being without Christ and without hope in this world now that you have known him. Is it enough that you can live another year to sell wares or raise hogs or milk cows or go to school? Are you willing to go through the same routine over and over again with nothing at the end of it except a falling into a dark abyss? When you lie on your deathbed this year or the next, your eyes are closed, your senses are gone, and you're like the cold ashes of a forsaken campfire. Shall you work toward that? Are you living with an eternal light glowing within you? A living future that is yours by grace because Jesus died for you? Take him away, and what have you left? And take the faith away. How can you have Christ? Yes, the faith, it is the thing that gives meaning and value to the new year and to every moment that you remain here on earth. Though foolish Christians tend to forget and lose themselves in the endless circle of their occupation, so that they begin to believe that life is just putting money in the bank and then drawing it out again, our enemy never lets himself be fooled. We sing, "Increase my faith, dear Savior, for Satan seeks by night and day to rob me of this treasure and take my hope of bliss away." The Lutheran Hymnal, hymn 381, verse 2. The devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What is he hungry for? Our money? Or our jobs? Not at all. He and the world are waiting to crash the citadel, the seat of Christ's rulership in our hearts, to drive us from the faith, to make a word of God doubtful to us. If you feel safe, just look at those who were once your brethren, but today are far away. Or better, listen to your Captain Paul. Stand fast in the faith. Never mind the rest. Just see to that. Faithful warriors give careful attention to their orders, such as we would like to be mustered out, but the time is not yet. We have to hold fast. What is required of us in this battle? Watch is the word to the sentries. This is the foremost of our duties in the struggle that lies ahead. I shall not weary you by explaining at length how important sentries are, that to be forewarned is to be forearmed, and that a stitch in time saves nine. The first line of defense of our faith is to catch the outriders of the attack. If the faith is to be fought for, we must know from which direction the attack is coming, and when. Watch. Be on guard. We do not find ourselves all of a sudden in the battle, for Satan moves in under cover with secretive ways and subtle means. How does he operate? He begins by keeping us away from the Word of God and from the preaching of the Word in one way or another. He starts with a small dissatisfaction, a word spoken out of turn, a visit to a false church, or a little quarrel in the family. We do not always realize with such events that our faith may be at stake. But you see, if anything in our lives is plainly, openly evil, and we clearly know it comes from Satan, then we will know also that it has only this one purpose, no matter how remote it may seem. It is the first small move in an attack that is to end by having us out of church, out of grace, and out of faith. So often the idea seems to prevail that the minister is the sentry for us all. He must watch while we play. But Paul does not address ministers. He writes to the members of the congregation at Corinth. Watch. These are your orders. Have your eyes open this year. Look for signs of the devil at work in your home, in your church affairs, in your school, and in your heart. When we find such signs, as we often will, then let us mind the charge of our text. Be brave. Be strong. This means to acquit ourselves like men, to do our duty like men, tackle the problems boldly, not timidly, not like children or fearful women. Oh, sometimes we are not manly, for we are afraid to speak, afraid to lift our hands or our voices. A father knows that his son is on evil ways, but he fears to speak or insist. Remember Eli, who did not correct his errant sons, clergy as they were? A mother shakes her head over a wild running daughter, but does not have the courage to step in for fear of disturbing an outward peace. The war is on with the devil, but such good people are not ready to acquit themselves like men. In a congregation, the same thing happens. Everybody sits back in the face of a bad situation, no doubt thinking that the pastor will bear the burden. Sometimes, then, the pastor fails too, for he finds no support behind him in the congregation. Be brave. This is no game. This is war. Will you fight, or just hope for the best? It sounds very unpleasant, all of this. It sounds hard, bitter, and painful. But the apostle reminds us of one saving condition of the fight. It is fought in love. Let all that you do be done with love. The very first violation of the faith is lovelessness. We did not mention it before, but that is how the devil actually often begins his attack. He causes us to forget that we are fighting for the faith that saves people. If we forget our motives and just fight, we are not warring beneath the banner of Christ's love, but that of selfishness. We love Jesus, and we love souls too. His word and his truth are at stake, and that he bled and died for. He suffered to give us the gospel that sweetens our life. We are at war only to uphold Christ's honor and defend his blood. We are to contend for the faith because of the souls he has redeemed. Our son, our daughter, our friend, our church. These are to be lovingly defended unto salvation. Thus, and only thus, can we briskly look forward to this year. It shall be a year of salvation, for the victory is already ours. Trusting in the promises of the Word of God, we are ready to stand and to acquit ourselves like men. God bless each father and mother, son and daughter, member and pastor alike, to follow the order of the day in our daily battle against Satan. Hear us, Lord Jesus. Amen.